truth be told, or your bullshit getting old. The world is getting cold. Don't nobody owe you nothing, so quit fronting. Nothing wrong with being honest. It's a lot of broken promises. Truth be told, we could communicate without all the gun violence. All it took was one conversation. It'll prevent a whole lot of altercation.
And welcome to the 10th episode of Truth Be Told. I've got a very special guest today. He was the star of the second season of A&E's 60 Days In, Ryan Secord. Ryan, first of all, thanks for coming on the show. I know it's been trying to get you on for a while. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you.
All right, man. I'm ready to get into it if you are.
Yeah, go ahead. Shoot.
All right. First off, for those wondering, how do you go about auditioning for like a docuseries or a role in 60 Days In or shows like that?
Well, mine was a unique case. I didn't audition. I didn't know that it was a show that I was applying to per se. Originally, I was applying to the Beverly Hills Police Department. I'd gotten a very good score on the post exam, the POST exam. And I was researching other people that got perfect scores and stuff like that. And I came across an advertisement for a social experiment recruiting former military, current military, former police, current police, just people with tactical or police type experience. And it seemed like a really good resume booster. And it was going to be a little bit before I was a full-fledged police officer at that point. So I went ahead and did it. And as I got further and further into the process, it seemed a lot more like something different than just let me phrase this just like this. In college, like say you're a psychology major, a lot of times for extra credit, they'll give you assignments to do special psychological experiments and stuff. I thought it was something similar to that. So the deeper I got into this thing, the more it seemed I just kind of accidentally stumbled into this for the most part. And they were a little bit misleading to maintain secrecy about this. They were misleading through much of the process. So by the time I just kept saying, whatever. So incrementally, I just became more and more okay with the fact that I was just being filmed. I actually never thought anybody was going to see this thing. I didn't know how TV worked. I never applied, had zero interest in being on TV, none. I didn't know how it worked. I didn't know what Lucky 8 was. I didn't, as a production company, I didn't know how this stuff was compartmentalized, had zero. I don't even own a TV. I don't watch TV at all.
Oh, wow.
So the deeper I got into this thing, the more they started revealing slowly, and none of it really mattered to me because I thought this is going to be excellent resume material. And in reality, I can't really do undercover work or anything like that anymore. So it kind of came back to bite me in a way.
Yeah, and did it get to a point where it seemed like you were too far to go back, where you were like committed to this thing?
Yes. It got to a point where I had signed contracts. I had signed NDAs. And it started getting actually interesting. And I started getting a little bit of a rush out of it because some of the producers, of which I didn't even know what that meant really at the time, I thought that they were just, you know, in charge of the behind the scenes filming of the security materials once you're in the jail, right? So these people were saying, this is going to be intense. You're going to be doing this. This is some real stuff. And I was like, because I'm a thrill seeker for the most part. I have to have increasingly more crazy things in my life. And so I was very interested in doing this thing. So it seemed more and more interesting to me as time went on. So it was me being committed to the process rather than somebody holding it over me.
Absolutely. And while we're on the subject, can you explain to those who haven't seen the show, like exactly what it is and the purpose of the show?
Well, the original concept was different than what you would see today. Nobody knew that this was not a thing that was on TV. Nobody knew, not even the producers knew, that this would be a 5 or 6 season series that was hitting number one spots and stuff. Nobody knew any of this. Nonetheless, me, because they were misleading in many of the aspects of this stuff. I didn't know exactly what was going on, but the original concept was send these people in to analyze what's happening. We're going to record it, and we're going to document the changes that occur inside of this jail from the you know, pre part to the during part and the post part. So show the preparations for the mission, the mission itself, and the changes afterward. And eventually things kind of got twisted up and it started getting, I guess, geared toward entertainment. So it stopped being about reform and it started being about drama. So essentially the original concept was something of grand importance rather than just a television show, but it eventually became a television show. So it's hard to say what it's about. It's about entertaining people at this point.
Right. And now the first season was still filming at that time too, right? So you had no frame of reference to go to.
Yeah, a lot of people don't actually know the time frame for this. It's very confusing. So I was from the best of my knowledge, one of the first people recruited. I was talking to these people for months before I went in. I was talking to people way before season one people went in. So in this process, they didn't tell me that there was a season one. They told me I was the only person that was doing stuff. So which is, once again, a big reason why a lot of people were suspect of me when I first got dropped in, for the record, because people were blowing their covers and being filmed for months before I went in. But I had no frame of reference for any of this stuff. No. So I didn't know, because once again, they were misleading as well about most of this, just to maintain, I guess, the secrecy or sanctity of the experiment itself. But when I got out, and they started talking to me, they were like, oh, yeah, so this is it. Thank you for this and that. But season one's going to be airing. I was like, you're splitting this into seasons? And they're like, yeah, because, and I started looking and I was like, there were all these people going in before I got dropped in. And it kind of messed with me a little bit because I'd had suspicions. Garza, my bunkmate, once said, I think some stuff's going on because they had a few people in here that seemed a little weird. And I was just like, whatever, man. So a lot of stuff started making sense as I got released. It's an odd thing to realize what you were doing fully only after you did it.
And to go with people being suspicious, like you said, did you ever at any time legitimately feel like you were in danger? And how often did like the camera crews check on you guys?
I think the camera crews checked on us too much. I never felt like I was in danger. A lot of the flair and editing goes into, oh, let's make it seem as if some crazy stuff's going to happen to Ryan because he's too deep. He's in too much over his head. In reality, everybody was kind of cool with me. They just had suspicions because of the aforementioned things that I've mentioned. You know, they have people like Zach going in. They called Zach Tennessee going in. Everybody had these nicknames. So they had suspicions for, and they actually showed a little bit of people being like really on to Zach as he got released. So Zach blended in really well. But as he got released, they were showing on camera. They were like, something's just not right about that. So it's an odd thing, like all of this stuff. But I was never in any danger per se. I was just under a lot of scrutiny. And I passed all of that. They don't show a lot of, everybody gets hazed. They had guys that had nothing to do with this show. Now that I know in retrospect, they were like, I think that guy's a plant. No, they weren't. They just think everybody is, it's just a weird paranoid place where they have nothing to do except for like scrutinize each other. But I was never really in any danger. In fact, a lot of people actually came to me for several, I was teaching Garza how to fight. Like the day before he fought. Yeah, I swear. I used to do a lot of MMA stuff. I used to help teach like ground and pound sections of MMA stuff. And so I was showing Garza a few things and I was like, yeah, you got to use your environment. And your hands will break in here because there's no vitamin D or anything. You got like an induced form of osteoporosis in here. So you might want to elbow people. And well, he punched Trayshawn the next day and shattered his hand. But yeah, a lot of people, they didn't really mess with me. If you stay to yourself, nobody's going to really mess with you unless they just have something with you. Like like Brian, for example, in the show. Go ahead.
You had a little military background too, didn't you?
Yes, I was an Army medic for about 9 years.
Hey, I'm sure they still taught you how to fight.
Not really. If somebody in the military is basically just saying, I am in the military, therefore I'm a good fighter, that does not follow. That's not true. A lot of the worst and wimpiest people I've ever known have actually been in the service. In truthfulness, it's not like a shield from anything. Absolutely, they're brothers. They get respect, but it's not a shield from being bad at doing something or a bad person in general. So a lot of that, you see some of that with some of the inmates even have demonstrated a somewhat lack of character despite being previous military. So it's not like a shield.
Okay. We were talking about how the show plays up to situations. Do you feel like the show portrayed you, you know, how you were? Or do you think they played you up to be more of a character?
I was definitely edited a little bit. I gave very little for them to work with, and they apparently just need... It's hard to say a lot of this stuff given the parameters I'm under to speak about it, but I was not much like what you would see. I'm a lot more personable. I'm a lot less, robotic about a lot of things. And one of the main things is I didn't give them anything. I wasn't playing along with the drama. They would say, tell us about this person. I'd say, if you want to know anything about that person, ask that person. I'm not getting into this public snitch game on national television. I'm sorry. You are asking me about these things. Therefore, I know for a fact that you have them on camera. You don't need my gossip on top of that footage. You have the information that you need. You don't need my validation and elaboration on these things. So that got Scotty Maples involved, and they had him come in, and they were just like, you're getting a little too deep. I was just like, because I personally felt like that was just like a way to get me to start playing the game. That was, felt like that was a trick to get me like playing ball. And I increasingly just bucked the system to a large degree. And that did not fly well. So with me basically becoming standoffish, it seemed as if I was playing everybody. And so I became like this character that was playing everybody on screen, and it was really out of self-preservation and me just wanting to do well by everybody. It was a sensible option for me, but it wasn't playing the TV game.
More or less, do you think they were trying to create drama?
I don't think the producers were fabricating drama. They weren't inducing anything, but I will say that they talked to us a little too much. They often wondered, I'll give a great example. They were talking about if something happens, we'll be in as soon as we can. And I actually, in terms of violence, and I told them, listen, I can handle myself. Something that a lot of people don't actually get. If you take your lumps in there and you deal with it, you handle like a man, you gain respect. Win, lose, or draw. You handle your business, you gain respect. Even if you get beaten to a pulp, yeah, you lost, but you didn't snitch. You didn't wimp out. You didn't check out. You dealt with it, and everything's fine. There is a form of respect for that. I knew that. I've handled worse beatings and sparring sessions before then. People in jail can't fight. They can't. They can't fight. That's another thing to digress a bit here. In all these seasons, you'll notice all these quote-unquote brutal gang jumpings. None of these people can fight. That's one thing about like six people jumping you. Nobody can get a clean punch in because they're punching over top of people and it's just weak, weak sauce punches. People are walking away without a scratch. It's crazy. they're brittle. They can't throw correct punches. It's going to be okay. I promise. Shell up a little bit, take your lumps and move on.
I like that. Essentially going in blind as you did, what kind of strategy did you have?
I actually prepared for this thing for months. That's something that I wish the original season concept would show, the preparation for the mission. I studied how to like wash checks. I studied cover stories. I memorized navigation landscapes in like English Indiana. I memorized a false social security number. I memorized a full identity. There's a lot of stuff that goes into the preparation for this stuff. And you kind of train for it. I stopped listening to music. I started eating only certain things. I prepared myself in so many ways that I set myself up for success when I went in. I was ready. I walked in. I was ready to get into confrontations. I was ready to get asked questions. I was ready to deal with the camera time, the debriefings. I was ready to assume information. I had a plan for everything. I had strategies for how to walk in and pick certain spots within the facility to sleep or lay down. I had exit strategies. I had all this stuff. None of that makes it to screen. None of it. They just show me saying some large words every now and then, build me up to be some kind of moderately despisable, pompous character. And then they show me getting dropped in and being suspect for no reason and all this other. It's an interesting process, but there's a lot of training and preparation that goes into this. And most of it's on you as a person to prepare. So a lot of these people that go in, they're just not prepared for it. A lot of military people are just ready. You have to be able to handle your own business. You have to be able to be around a lot of people. You have to be able to mind your own business, interact with people in a weird way. It's an interesting thing that military kind of prepares you for years beforehand. And that's a thing that you may notice, is that people that have been in the military kind of excel at this sort of thing.
Yeah, kind of set that 60-day clock, man, and just went right through it.
Yeah, it's just one of these things. When you're undercover like that, this is your new life. This is life now. You just deal with it. Somebody's messing with you. They're messing with you in your new life. They're not messing with the previous Ryan Secord. They're not messing with the guy that's on the streets. They're not messing with the guy. I'm a new person. In here, you have to be a completely new individual when you're in the facility. That's your whole life now. And you have to deal with things like that. You can't just... And that's another thing, though, is that's the mentality that you have to have if you're going to stay there. Things just become a thing that you deal with. Fights don't become fights. They're just a way to entertainingly pass time for 3 minutes while it lasts. Something to talk about later. An infiltration from what do they call it? When the guards come in and all the riot gear, I forgot what they call the CERT team. That's just an entertaining way to pass 2.5 hours, a lot of different changes. Yeah, that becomes what it is. So I would say that jail overall is just a strange way to find out how to pass time.
What positive impact do you feel like you made either towards the prison or with some of the inmates?
I don't know about with the inmates. Something they don't show is I actually got into the GED program, and I passed it pretty much day one and started tutoring people in GED stuff. They wouldn't let me become an instructor in there. So after I passed it, because I had less than 6 months to do, so I started helping guys in the pods get their GEDs and stuff like that to, you know, help them get a time cut, some good guys.
Awesome.
Yeah, you don't see stuff like that. And another thing is, I have it on great authority, in fact, that several of the people high up involved with this process would really have liked to show some of these beneficial programs for the inmates, rather than showing these inhumane conditions exclusively, rather than showing certain things. There was not 100% bad in jail. There were good things in jail. There were good people in there. So you learn to interact with not everybody in there is some horrible monster. They're just people that got in a fight outside and got hemmed up for it or something, you know. They're just good people. for the most part, and they do good people things. They band together when somebody's in trouble. There's oftentimes there's kindness in jail, but you don't count on it. So it's not that I benefited anybody in particular, but I would say that the program overall came out with a lot of benefit for discovering what's actually wrong with the facility. Sheriff Noel is a fantastic leader. He turned that place completely around. That may not be evident on, say, new seasons or something like that because of the aforementioned editing processes. They have to have something good to show, but Sheriff Noel has done amazing things for that facility. He took a lot of our stuff to heart and did whatever he could. So there were good things that came out of the program, but not earth-shattering things. They're just things that you have to have an intimate knowledge of your own facility about. These aren't universal changes for the entire system. It's that one place.
You know, I like what you said about jail. I've never personally been there, but I think it's often a common misconception that everybody in there is a bad guy.
Yeah, there are tips for surviving jail when you get in. And I could go on about things that you could or should do when you walk in, but anybody can do jail. It's not like, because, and as I've mentioned, I guess even on the show, weaker people than me have gone in and had to survive on no preparation, and they made it just fine. You're going to be okay if you go in. Just deal with it. Handle it. There are things that you can do. As long as you adapt, you're fine. But everybody in there isn't some, you know, monster. Everybody in there is in a bad situation just like you are. They're all afraid that they're going to get stabbed. Nobody's stabbing anybody. People despise that behavior, in fact. A lot of these rape jokes and, like, I remember when I was first going in, I was like, you know what would be hilarious is if I get stabbed in there and my last words are, this is how it all ends. I get stabbed by a Colgate toothbrush. You know, just none of that happens. Nothing happens.
Put that on
you
the tombstone. Only.
Yeah, you only get messed with if you mess with other people. If you step into other people's business, you're going to be okay. Everybody's in a bad situation. Tensions flare sometimes when you're around a bunch of angry men that have been deprived of even their humanity for quite some time. But overall, everybody's just in a bad situation trying to deal with it. Some people simply aren't very good at handling that type of adversity, and that's when you see a lot of flaring.
Now, how tough was it adjusting to prison food and using commissary?
I wouldn't know. I didn't eat. That's a big thing everybody wondered. I had a nearly all liquid diet. I was lucky enough that CCJ, Clark County Jail in Indiana, had, of all things, protein powder and powdered milk on the commissary list. So I started getting, this was my entire diet. I had protein powder, powdered milk, peanut butter, vitamins, and diet Mountain Dew. Everything else was just water. That's exclusively what I, occasionally when the staff would say I was getting too skinny, I would eat, you know, some Little Debbie nutty bars or whatever they're called. They're delicious, mind you, but. And then occasionally, me and Quentin, who were, well, you wouldn't know it just being a viewer of the show. When I first talked to Quentin, I knew within 5 minutes that he was a plant. Within 5 minutes. And next time the producers interviewed me, I was like, oh, by the way, I found out about your boy Quentin. And they looked at me like, oh, God, he knows. And they were like, who? What are you talking about? I was like, listen, I'm not stupid. So me and Quentin started chumming up a lot. We hung out a lot. We talked constantly. And we would, just me and him, make these, they call them slams. We'd just get together and throw a bunch of stuff in one like pot and just have like a nice meal, like a big home-cooked meal. So occasionally we would do something like that. I got invited to eat what they call a super slam for the Super Bowl with the gangs. But aside from that, I didn't eat much. You know, the human body can go a considerable amount of time without eating.
Just the essentials, right?
Yeah, you don't need much. I got shredded in there, though. I mean, I got shredded. I was working out all the time. They don't show this stuff. I was working out like twice a day, showing some of these, they call them SKs, the Saxon Knights. I was showing those guys how to do CrossFit. I was just always moving in there. And a big thing that I like to harp on is Quentin. Quentin is a fantastic human being. And I was really lucky to get to know Quentin in there. But he had no idea that I was a plant. He had his suspicions, but he eventually actually, I thought it was a game to see if I could convince him that I was an inmate, even though I knew he was, I swear. He literally got out of jail, fact checked to see if my backstory checked out and was like, yeah, I guess he's an inmate. I swear, I convinced Quentin until the reunion that I was an inmate. It was hilarious. But I still talk to Quentin every week, like maybe twice a week sometimes. I talk to Quentin for like 2 hours at a time.
Now, we kind of went into this a little bit. How do you feel the show has either progressed or regressed since the first and second season, and why?
That's not for me to say. There are a lot of people, the ratings stay consistent. It just changes. It reaches different demographics, I guess. The original concept was, in my opinion, the best concept. It was before they knew we can get viewers by doing X, Y, and Z. It was before it was a show. It was a concept made to enact change, to create awareness, to really reform a facility and show the ins and the outs, the realities of what it was. My original premise for the show was I thought that I was going to show how to go from zero to veteran in 60 days. I thought my job was to show how to trick the system, how to figure things out, demonstrate the philosophical aspects of incarceration in general, talk about the people, the political hierarchies. Pod politics are fascinating to me. For the just certain things like that. That original premise started changing as you hit places like Atlanta, where it was more geared towards let's show gangs throwing horrible loopy punches at people and some weird conditions. The people that did these, like Johnny from season 4, Matt from season 4, Nate, Zach from season 1, I talk to these guys all the time. They're fantastic human beings. I have nothing but good things to say about all these people. I talk to them frequently. They're good people. They did really well. Some of them did not get a fair shake on screen. They didn't. And they did great things, but the show had its motivations. It had to show certain things, and it's an animal unto itself at this point. It's distributed amongst these editors and these producers, and everybody's just kind of communicating this thing. It's a project that people are working on, and it's not like a thing of purity anymore. It's a thing that people dish out and rewrite and revise and edit down and cut this in. And so I would say that it's just changed. In many ways, it's a better TV show, perhaps. I'm not sure, but it's just different. I prefer seasons 1 and 2. I have a bias towards season 2, but whatever.
Now, do you think it was necessary to be in some sort of gang for survival in jail? And did you feel like most of the gangs were racially motivated?
No and no. Jail is different than prison. A lot of people don't, a lot of people will say, oh, they did 60 days in prison. No, we didn't. It's not the same thing. There is a major, major difference between jail and prison. And I'll give you this information. CCJ's conditions, as any jail, this is not something that Jamie Noel, who is an amazing person, he's not doing this stuff to these people. It's just how jail is. It takes away a lot of the humanity. You're not living in a resort, you know? But jail itself, a lot of the inmates, hard guys. We're talking like guys that have been in prison, guys with tattoos on their faces and like have stabbed people. They would say, man, I can't wait to go to prison. I just wish they would send me to prison. Jail is really bad. But it's not as affiliated. You go to prison, you don't have to join a gang in prison, but you're kind of better off. You're in neutral ground. Sometimes you can get swung on by anybody. But in prison, you have a lot more gang type action. Gangs own parts of the yard. Gangs own certain things. You can't go certain places or do certain things without permission from certain gangs. That's prison. But you get a lot more freedom. You get yard time. You get visitations. You get a bigger list of things. You can work. It's a lot better in terms of living conditions. It's the big house. Jail is just bad, but it's kind of preparation for prison. You don't have as much racial stuff. You don't necessarily have to. It gets grandfathered in. There are a lot of these rules in jail that are just grandfathered in from like 1920 or something. So I learned the ropes from guys like Garza, right? And Wes and Skeeter Lee and all these other people that these really good people, honestly, my bunkies and all these other people, really good people, a guy named Big Mike. And I learned the ropes from these guys. They also learned the ropes from somebody else. So I'm getting like two generations old worth of stuff. And those people got information on how to survive in jail from other people. So you're getting this old, outdated information that's passed down, and at no point does anybody really buck the trend. Nobody says, you know, that's kind of stupid. Why can't we do things this way? That's just not how it goes. You just do, you adapt to how things are. That's how things are. You're going to be the guy that upsets it. Good luck with that. I mean, I guess you can maybe after a while, once you're maybe running things, but are you the type of person that wants to do that if you're the kind of guy that's in jail for 3 years? It's just one of these things. It's like a constant cycle, but there's not a lot of race stuff in jail. It happens. There are race tensions and stuff. Like Quentin saw a lot more race tension than I did. For obvious reasons. First off, but second, he was just in the pod. I was off teaching people how to read and stuff. But he was like in the pod a few times when stuff was like about to bust out. And people were like, you got to pick a side and this and that. And at one point they asked me, are you with us or not? You know, these white people were asking, are you with us if something breaks out? Because it's just enough to where if there are tensions, it's going to happen and people have to pick teams. Jeez. And I actually said, yeah, I don't care if you're white or black or brown or whatever. If you come at me, I'm swinging on you. But I'm not messing with anybody. I'm not going to be a racist on national television. I'm sorry. Like I was in a different situation than a lot of other. It's one thing to be in jail. It's another thing to be undercover in jail. And it's another thing on top of that to be an undercover person in jail on national television. So there was a lot of weird tension for me specifically compared to the average inmate.
That's some method acting right there.
in a way it is, in fact. I don't like to call it that, but you have to. You have to pass a lot of tests. You have to believe your story for a while. One thing that a lot of people don't know is everybody calls home and misses home. I forgot about home. I wrote it off. That's not who I am anymore. You have to become the new person you are. That's your life now. You're a new person. Because if you're thinking about your home life, if you're thinking about your sweetie back home, you're thinking about your kids, you're thinking about your parents, you're thinking about how good it would be to go eat at that sushi restaurant down the street. You're not focused on the task at hand. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be missing things. This is your life. Find the good things in your current new life. So I wrote everything off from my outside life. So yeah, it is kind of like acting, but it's more about just focusing on what you have to do. You have to do what you have to do, and there's no amount of missing home that's going to help that.
Were you additionally asked to stay an extra 60 days? And if you were, would you have?
Well, here's something interesting. When I got out, the first thing they asked me when I got in, I don't know if they aired this or not. I don't think they did. But the first thing they asked me, they said, how do you feel? I literally had just sat down in the van. They said, how do you feel? And I said, I feel like I'm not done yet. And I think that that's a big reason why maybe they had asked other people such as Nate to do an extra term in the following season. I wasn't finished yet. I felt like there was a lot more that I could have done, a lot more I could have found out. This was a learning experience for me. I found out so many things about incarceration and the pod politics are fascinating to me. There's a structure to jail. There's a hierarchy. Like even if you're a bad guard, there are people below you. Guards are scum in prison. Bad guards, they get no respect. They still get more respect than what people call chomos, child molesters, stuff like that. So there are hierarchies in jail where you get on-site orders. There were people inside that were just fearing for their existence the entire time I was in because their charges had anything at all to do with a kid. So these things fascinate me. They do. There are different, like there are, there's a certain age limit where if you just kind of mind your business, you're considered highly respected. You're an elder in the pod. Nobody messes with you no matter what. So these types of things, the majority gang leaders, the gang affiliations, the layout of the pods, everything was fascinating. And so was all of their stories. A lot of these people had fascinating stories. Stories that you hear, you're just like, that's crazy. You should write a book. There was a guy I don't want to give these people's names straight up and affiliate them with this stuff. I don't have that permission from them. I don't feel right doing it, but there was there was a guy in there who was in on some really bunk charges. I read his paperwork and this guy didn't know how to read or anything like that. And he had me help write his medical stuff, his legal stuff all the time, his letters back home. And he was just a good guy that got a gun pulled on him at a party. And he was like, whatever. And he turned around and started walking away. And the guy kept saying stuff. And as he turned around, the guy who was a felon and should not have been in possession of a firearm was drunk and accidentally shot this guy in the shoulder. And as he did that, the guy who got shot, the guy that I know in jail, pulled out a knife and stabbed the dude in the neck. Well, the self-defense laws in Indiana are kind of obscure, so he got booked and tied up in the system for a long time, despite being kind of in the right. So these things, you just read them, you're just like, how are you still in here? And you read the paperwork, you're like, that's exactly what it is. He's not lying to me. I saw it with my own eyes. You see these things. They are fascinating stories, and you feel kind of bad for these people. But then you still have a job to do. So these things, you see them. You don't feel like you're finished yet. When you're doing these things in the moment, yeah, it's good to get out and everything, but society is literally just a bigger jail with way more ways to die. instead of a guard, you have your boss. These people that are in systems and rules and regulations that are lording over your life, you can go away at any time for anything. Literally, look up the regulations that exist. There are so many that if somebody was literally sharpshooting you for every law in existence, you're probably breaking one right now, just being on the airwaves, doing something. I mean, so it's an interesting thing. There are so many rules and regulations out here, so many ways to die. You have a bigger commissary, but eventually you're just in a bigger jail. That's how society is.
Since leaving the experiment, how have you personally changed, or has there been any kind of emotional effects on you since leaving?
I'm not an emotional guy. I was fine when I got out, but there were things that I noticed. When I got out, one thing that I did was immediately I walked around the city, and people were looking at their phones a lot. People in jail don't have phones. People were arguing with their girlfriends and boyfriends and all this other stuff. And in jail, people are alone, utterly alone. And they're complaining about the small stuff. In jail, you don't even have the small things in life. So one thing that I noticed was people take a lot of things for granted out here. There is a class of people that have forgotten entirely what it's like to hold their family, to be on a phone. There was a guy, once again, I don't want to give this guy's name. He was in the computer class, and he had been in so long that he had to have me, he had to have me teach him how to double click on a mouse. He had been in prison and stepped down to jail for the purposes of, he was getting ready to get out like free. And he did, he had no idea. He was trying to educate himself and just was so out of touch with technology. He was like, I'm clicking on, I'm like, no, you're just clicking on it. You have to double click. He'd go click, click. I was like, no, you got to do it fast. He's like, click, click. I'm like, no, even fast. It was just small stuff like that. People are just so out of the loop. You're in your own universe in jail, in prison, in these places that you're locked away. And all you know now is that life, that cruelty, that restriction. It's an interesting thing because people out here, they still feel like they have barely any freedoms. They feel bogged down and ungrateful. It's an interesting thing to note. But overall, I'm not an emotional guy. I didn't feel any different. I felt there were certain things, colors seemed way brighter when I got out. Music sounded better. Food tasted better. That's not an emotional thing. But it's something of note. And you can only imagine what somebody that's done 3 years, 10 years would feel like when they got out. And oftentimes I'm sure they don't adapt very well because they don't know what they're doing. They're out of touch. I'd say that would probably be emotional, but I have no idea about that life. None. I have no right to or knowledge of what those emotions would be like.
At the end of the day, what's the most positive thing you took from this experience?
That's difficult to say. The experience itself was a blast. I had a good time in jail. I'm not going to lie. I made a lot of acquaintances. I learned a lot. Like Quentin, for example, I consider Quentin a lifelong friend. I met him in there. I'd say that the most positive thing about the experience, not the show itself. You know, there's a mild awareness that maybe the show created, but a lot of people watch it for entertainment value. Oh, nobody's hitting enough people. That's people's lives you're messing with. This isn't WWE. But yeah, I'd say the most positive thing that came out of it was it changed the way that I want to function in the world. It gave me different interests it gave me a better direction in life and allowed me to see what the other side lives like. One of the big reasons for this, when I thought I was going to be a police officer was, or a detective, I should say, was that if you're locking people up, you should know what it's like to be locked up. I have that knowledge and I have a completely clean record. I have a lot of knowledge that a lot of other people have no possibility of actually knowing. That is a major benefit to this program. So I'd say that I have very unique, tailored, and specific knowledge that even if I don't get to apply it anywhere, I know it, and that's enough. So in short, the most positive aspect of having done the show is knowing what I know now. So overall, I'd say I would do it again, and it's positive.
Ryan, thank you so much for coming on the show. I think that you're going to open a lot of people's eyes on some of these subjects they don't know about, because I think a lot of people are very ignorant on the subject. If you could take a moment to kind of let everyone know, like, what's going on in your life, what you're working on, and where they can reach you at.
Just find me on I really only exclusively use Twitter for the most part. Twitter at @RYAN_SECORD, Ryan Secord. Overall, I'm in grad school right now studying political science and constitutional law. For the most part, that's the thing that consumes most of my time. Outside of that, I'm really just kind of working on a few things, like I'm brewing up a podcast as we speak. For the most part. So I'll be talking about things like this and more on a podcast in the future.
Awesome, Ryan. Thank you again so much. And I'm your host, James C. Turner Jr. And you can find me on Twitter at JPZolliday1990 and James C. Turner Jr. on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you again. And everyone tune in next week.
Nothing but positive vibes all day. Grinding.
trying to make a better way. Better listen to what the songs say. Truth be told, you better slow your roll. I've been on the same road before. You know I'm the chosen one. I spit flows from the brain, young G1.